We are studying John chapter 10 here on the Radio Bible Course, and we're happy that you've joined us. Today we begin with verse 30. The Good Shepherd is speaking after making promises that his sheep hear his voice, they know him, he knows them, and they follow him. And he gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of his hand. At the end of that paragraph, in verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It's a very important passage. Oftentimes you'll get people coming to your door from one of several cults, and they want to tell you that Jesus is not one with the Father, that he is not God the Son, and he is not equal to God. Now here's a passage to remind those people of what Jesus said. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Now, in which way is he one? What does he mean by it? Well, earlier in verse 24 of this chapter, the Jews had asked Jesus if he were the Messiah. And in this verse, in verse 30, they get a clear statement of his deity. I and the Father are one. Two persons are said to be one, but they are not the same. You must distinguish between the Father and the Son if you're going to understand the New Testament. Jesus made that distinction. He will tell us when we get to John chapter 14 that in that day, referring to the day after his resurrection when he is victorious over death, that they should ask him nothing. They should not pray to Jesus, he tells them. But he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to them. Notice how he distinguishes. Even though he claimed equality with God, yet he prayed to the Father. And he talked about the Father having sent him. Clearly, there are two persons in the Godhead up to that point. But in the same chapter, that is chapter 14 and the following chapters, Jesus will be talking about the third person of the Godhead, the one who would be sent from the Father to the earth to be with the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven. He is called the Comforter or the Counselor. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Now that's clearly established here in Scripture, not only in these texts that we've discussed today, but many other places. You'll find these cult people saying, you believe in two gods or three gods? You don't have to answer that. All we have to say is, what did Jesus believe? He didn't say there were two gods. He said, I and the Father are one. There is one God. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, which is recited in the synagogues every Friday night, is the answer. The Lord our God is one Lord. But he's three persons according to the Bible. Now, how is Jesus and the Father one? Well, not visibly, because Jesus, the Christ, had a body. The Father did not. They are one in essence, however. Both are deity. John the Apostle, who wrote this gospel, made this point of oneness in a very strong way, and it cannot be mistaken in spite of what the cultist would have you believe. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word. That's Christ, clearly. And that's made clear later in the chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There are two beings, the Word and God. So we have two persons mentioned here. They are not the same, but they are both deity, and they are one in essence. The verse tells us, He was in the beginning with God. That pronoun, He, tells us that there are two people, He and God. And it says all things were made through him. Now, if Jesus the Christ is not deity, how could he have made everything? That's a question you can ask the cultist who comes. Another of their arguments against the deity of Jesus is the fact they say that John did not say that Jesus was God, but that he was a God, because he didn't put the definite article in the Greek before the name God. Referring to this, and the Word was God. They say, it should say, and the Word was the God. If Jesus was really deity, they say, that's the way it would have been written. But they don't know Greek very well. There is really no other way that John could have written this, because if he had put the in there before the word God, it would have made him the same as God. And John's point is that Jesus and the Father are not the same. We have God the Father and we have God the Son. So it's impossible to put an article in front of God. If there were any other way that John could have written it, he surely would have done it. Now, I point out these things because I want to protect you or fortify you. When you meet those people who come to your door and want you to become one of their God's great witnesses in this world and become a part of an exclusive group, they are very mistaken. Just as Jesus said a man and a woman in marriage become one flesh, so Christ and the Father are one in spirit. Spiritually, they are one. Both are eternal, and each does what the other does. As Jesus explained in John chapter 5, he said, "My Father is working still, and I am working." In other words, what God does, Jesus does. What God thinks, Jesus thinks, and what God says, Jesus said. Well, this statement offended the Jews, but the statement was not a careless utterance by Jesus. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Well, that didn't set well with those Jews. In John chapter 5, verse 18, they react. And here's what it tells us. This was why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. That's what they understood, that he claimed to be equal with God, and Jesus never corrected them, which is why the people took up stones to kill him. And that comes in the next passage before us in John chapter 10, verse 31. And on. Let's read through the end of the chapter, verse 31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" And the Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'?" You better mark that one down, verse 36. You'll need it someday, because there are people who say Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. And they are serious about that. Their problem is they are biblically illiterate. Jesus did claim to be the Son of God in certain words, and those certain words are right here. He claimed to be the Son of God in many other expressions as well. Now, we can see by the text that the Jews completely understood what Jesus said. "I and the Father are one." He affirmed that he was equal to God and therefore nothing less than deity. So they took up stones to kill him, and he asked a question fearlessly. knowing that they had those rocks in their hands. And believe me, when you go to Israel, such as I have done, you can't go any place where you can't find a rock. And I mean big rocks. They are the kind that once you are hit in the head with them, your life will probably be over. Well, here are these Jews standing with the rocks in their hands, waiting to carry out the execution of Jesus. That's the law of God, you know. Leviticus 24 demanded that anyone who blasphemed God should be stoned to death. And so Jesus asked the question, and one which will lead to him reaffirming what he said earlier about equality with God. He asked, "For which of these good works do you stone me?" Listen to their answer. And if you have a problem believing that Jesus claimed to be deity, then learn from his enemies. They say, "You, being a man, make yourself God." Well, that was blasphemy and punishable by death. To be sure, he was a man. But their problem was they refused to believe what John had written earlier about this person and what we understand about Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says it, "And the Word became flesh." This deity, who was in the beginning with God and was God, is called the Word. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father." Now notice in verse 32 of John chapter 10 that Jesus referred to the works as from the Father. In other words, Jesus was not acting alone when he performed miracles. He was working in conjunction with the Father in heaven. He is the one who came to earth, however. The problem here is that the Jews did not understand that God took on human form, even though they admitted that the Old Testament scriptures talked about the Christ coming, and they believed that the Christ was deity. But here they couldn't conceive of the Christ having a human body. But the scripture said it. The scripture spoke of the Messiah as being eternal, and it was their scriptures that said it. And here before them was God in the flesh. Jesus was not only man. Oh, he was that, to be sure. He ate and slept and got tired. But he was also God. He was therefore the God-man. That's the way to view the Jesus of the Bible. There is no one like him. He's unique, one of a kind. That's what only begotten means. Now, before we leave the air, I want to read a paragraph from our grace booklet. Listen to it. "Many people, after being saved by accepting the gift of God, then assume that they should attempt to live by Moses' laws. God has a better way to teach us to behave. The grace of God teaches us." And that's the paragraph that introduces how grace is the believer's teacher. If you haven't written for your free copy of this grace booklet, write today. And remember, the grace booklet is free. Don't send money. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.